a 24-yard field goal attempt for Gold, who's 4 for 4 today. And Gold is good with 4 seconds to go, his 5th field goal of the game. What a return to Chicago for Robbie Gold.
I joked about a little bit earlier, I can't remember a time in possibly NFL history in which an entire stadium and possibly an entire fan base was like, I'll go for the kicker. That was the case yesterday as Robbie Gold and the San Francisco 49ers beat the Bears 15-14 at Soldier Field. A beautiful day on the lake, but to watch the Bears fall to 3-9, and it's just one of those games, and it's time for the Monday evening quarterback, appropriate time to discuss all matters, whether it be the stalling and, I guess, unraveling of the Bears offense, the sputtering and inconsistencies of the Bears defense, the absent-mindedness of the Bears coaching staff, all the way down the line, you name it, there have been problems this season. This has been a really frustrating one for Chicago Bears fans. On the line with us, the best in the business, a man who covers the Bears for WGN Radio. You can find all his stuff at WGNradio.com/Bears. Adam Hoge. Adam!
Hey, Justin.
Did I sum that up correctly? I mean, one of the more frustrating seasons in modern Bears history.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that, this is right up there with 2014 with Mark Trestman, a year that there were a lot of expectations and it all unraveled and just kept unraveling. And I think by the end of that season, we all realized that there were major flaws with the roster. Now, there's some of those flaws are still on this roster. There's still depth issues and obviously on offense, not enough weapons. But I think we can all agree that this team should be better than 3-9 right now, and it's been a colossal disappointment, and unfortunately just seems to be getting worse and worse.
Well, I mean, there are bright spots and there are weaknesses, and we'll talk about both, 312-981-7200. But let's first talk about coming into this game, all eyes were on the Jimmy Garoppolo-Mitchell Trubisky matchup, because this was to be the first start for Jimmy Garoppolo, an Illinois product, grew up in the area. They made that abundantly clear on the broadcast. But he did well. I mean, there was some talk that he could have been a Chicago Bear at one point, but yesterday he showed a lot of poise and did damage to the Chicago Bears.
He did. He looked like a guy who had been developing under Tom Brady for 3.5 years. He looked really comfortable and poised and confident, and he got the ball out quickly. He went through his progressions well, and for a guy who just got traded there a few weeks ago and was still learning the offense, I was very, very, very impressed with Jimmy Garoppolo, a guy who I liked a lot coming out of Eastern Illinois, have liked since he's been in the league. And thought was somebody that the Bears should target. And, you know, they decided to go after Mitch Trubisky, and there's no reason why Mitch Trubisky still can't be a really good quarterback for a long time with the Bears. And on his side of it, I thought Trubisky played fine. I think what you could just tell sort of watching the game, though, is that Garoppolo was more comfortable. And I think you can look at it in a number of ways. On one side, Garoppolo's only been on that team for a few weeks, so maybe you would have expected Trubisky to look more comfortable since he's now played, 7 starts now with mm-hmm. the Bears? And I'm sorry, 8 now at this point. So, but on the flip side, he's still a rookie, and he did not develop under Tom Brady for 3.5 years. So you can look at it a number of ways. I think both quarterbacks are still promising. And unfortunately, to me, what's so difficult, and we've talked about this, Justin, this whole season just seems like a wash with Mitch Trubisky. I think he's gaining experience and he can take from that. But what I'm talking about is just in terms of evaluating him. I still don't know how to evaluate him.
Right.
Because the offense is a mess. He doesn't have wide receivers, and the play calling is bizarre, and the personnel is bizarre, and there's just no flow to the Bears offense at all.
Yeah, and it seems week to week that different personnel becomes preferred in the game plan, and that's maddening because the idea is to develop this quarterback. that each week you would see more pieces put in place to how this offense and how this quarterback is going to run this offense. But here's a great example, watching the Chicago Bears go from when they got trounced in Philly to, what, running for 6 yards in that game. They didn't really improve that much at Soldier Field, what, less than 50 yards. But now it was the passing game that looked in shatters, that no one was getting open, that they weren't moving the ball at will. I mean, there's so much to be said about the way this offense has almost unraveled and stopped developing under Mitch Trubisky.
Well, for a team that says they run the ball first, and the running game has disappeared completely over the last few weeks, and that's putting the quarterback in a tough spot. Look, to me, this looks like a team that is still is being coached by a coaching staff that cares more about winning football games right now and saving their jobs than developing the players who need to be developed. I do not think that Mitch Trubisky's strengths are being maximized to his best ability. I don't think he's being tested in the areas that he should be best tested right now to continue to develop. There's no identity on offense. I think that there are better ways to use his strengths to both help him and the team. And I don't know what it is, but there is just the offense is a lost cause at this point. I don't think it's going to get any better. But when you see a guy like Adam Shaheen, the Bears' second-round pick, playing 9 out of 37 snaps.
So he's not even getting on the field. It's not that he's not getting open. It's not that Trubisky's checking down to someone else. He's just not on the field.
Right, and I think it's pretty obvious, and we've talked about this before, that John Fox does not trust his young guys. And a quarterback, he has no choice, because the quarterback's going to be on the field the entire game, and we've already decided that Mike Glennon's bad. But they hung on to that one for longer than they probably should have. So, but all these other rookies, other than Eddie Jackson, who's supplanted as a starter, there's been a reluctance to keep them on the field, and I think it's a trust factor. So instead of letting a guy like Adam Shaheen take his lumps on the field and learn as he makes a big jump from D2 Ashland to the NFL, instead of letting him get that experience and make mistakes on the field, which are naturally going to happen, his blocking is okay. It's not great. He makes mistakes blocking. His route running is probably not 100% reliable as he faces different coverages. If you think about going back to the Saints game when he got jammed at the line of scrimmage by Von Bell on a play that was designed for him in the end zone, he did not handle that the best he could. And those are plays where I think this coaching staff that is under the gun and has to win football games went into yesterday's game saying, we cannot lose to the 49ers because they're bad. And if we lose to the 49ers, we're probably definitely getting fired, although that was probably already a foregone conclusion. So instead of developing players, instead of putting that first and foremost, they're more worried about saving their jobs. And by the way, I don't blame them. If I was in that situation, I would do the same thing. But that's creating the situation for Ryan Pace, where why is John Fox still the head coach?
You know, I have to add, and let's take a break so we stay on time, but that is the question. Does it really point to the general manager saying, you know, you've got the wrong system in place for what you're trying to accomplish with this team to rebuild and actually turn us back into a playoff contender? Adam Hoge, WGN Radio Bears Insider. You can find all this stuff at WGNRadio.com/Bears. We'll take a quick break. We come back. Let's talk about the coaching. We just did that. Mike's on the line. I also got some texts all about some of the things that happened yesterday that were on John Fox's watch. It's Monday evening. Quarterback, stay with us.
Yeah, we talked about it, but it would have been done at about 136 or 140 or whatever it was. And, you know, we felt good about the block we had, you know, on a potential field goal. You know, neither one of those are great options, you know, at the 5-4 yard line.
That's right up there with playoffs. That's a good one. It's Monday evening quarterback here on the download, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, Adam Hoge with me, WGN Radio Bears Insider. Find all his stuff at WGNRadio.com/Bears. Now it's time to really dissect the coaching job yesterday. And I want to let Mike start us off. Mike, you on the line? Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. What a dismal game. And how can John Fox get outfoxed by a first-year coach? That Kyle Shanahan just had a plan, and he went with it, and the guys just, you know, took over the game. Couldn't 100 yards passing, 50 yards rushing. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
It was terrible.
It's terrible. And you set it off. Thanks, Mike. Adam, did John Fox get out-coached yesterday?
Yeah, I think he did. Look, this score was 15-14, but if you look at the yards, you look at the time of possession, the first downs, with the 49ers had two times as many.
It's 23-8.
Yeah, it was one team controlled the football the entire time, and it wasn't the Bears. And you know, give the defense credit for buckling down in the red zone and forcing field goals instead of touchdowns, but had they not done that, this would have been a blowout. Like, you would have been blown out by the 49ers, who came into Soldier Field with one win. And so I think you have to look at it that way and understand that this really, even though it was a one-point game that came down to a field goal at the end by Robbie Gould, you were dominated by the 49ers from start to finish. And Jimmy Garoppolo was able to get whatever he wanted. If it was 3rd and 5, he could get 6. If it was 3rd and 7, he could get 8. If it was 3rd and 12, he could get 13. Okay, third down was abysmal for the Bears defense.
Yeah, what was going on? It felt abnormal, like for any NFL game to have that much success on third down.
It did. And you know, look, the defense, we've been seeing this for a few weeks now, just sort of slowly, I don't want to say fall apart, because they're not playing horribly, but it's just the depth isn't there, and they keep losing more and more guys. They started two guys who got cut out of training camp. Veterans,
30-year-olds. Picked up this week,
started. And by the way, in the last segment I talked about Adam Shaheen not playing. This really, I did not understand this. Let's go all the way back to the end of training camp. Final cuts. They let go of Chris Pierzynski. They kept DeAndre Hall, second-year player out of Northern Iowa, who they drafted in the 4th round, on the original 53-man roster, even though he was hurt. And the reasoning for that was they wanted to put him on IR so that he could return later in the year. And to be able to do that, you have to be on the original 53-man roster. So they basically burned a roster spot for a day during final cuts so that they could bring Hall back later in the year. When did they bring Hall back? Saturday. Guess what they also did this week? They re-signed Chris Pierzynski.
The same guy that was cut for DeAndre. That's crazy.
And started him over DeAndre Hall, who's a 23-year-old prospect. It makes zero sense. It goes back to, who do you think John Fox trusts more? He trusts Chris Pierzynski, the veteran, and they're not developing a young guy in that situation. And it is frustrating when you got such a young team that needs reps.
And it felt to me, obviously with Pernell McPhee going out of the game at one point, I don't know if he came back or not, but the pass rush for the Bears is decimated. With Leonard Floyd gone, Akeem Hicks has not had that support on the outside. He had you know, disappears. They're not getting. They didn't come close to Jimmy Garoppolo yesterday. It just felt that the third down that Garoppolo was back there picking them apart. And when you've got a guy like Chris Pierzynski who came off the waiver wire, I mean, they had to fit him for a jersey on Saturday. You can understand that. Yeah, maybe he's not in the right spot to stop a 3rd and 8.
Yeah, and Lamar Houston had the only sack, and he was re-signed a couple days ago, and also was let go at the end of the preseason. So that just shows you where this defense at right now. It's just too many injuries, and it's at this point, fair enough excuses.
Let me ask you this, Adam, because I want to get in before we get to the news. The play at the end of the game, and this is one that you wrote about eloquently on the website, WGNradio.com/Bears, and it really has picked up steam today. The idea that John Fox discounted the notion of letting the 49ers score. They inexplicably ran at the end of the game instead of going down to a knee. And Carlos Hyde could have easily scored. Kyle Fuller out of nowhere tackled him when it looked like everyone was on the same page but him. But John Fox confirmed that wasn't the plan. They did not want to do that. They wanted to go for the block. You point out that's a head scratcher from the coaching position.
Oh, it absolutely is. There's only one way to handle that, and we've been through this before. There was a game, John Fox's 6th game as head coach back in 2015. They lost a game in Detroit, you may remember, in overtime, and there was a similar situation where this came up. And look, I realize that old-school football people cannot wrap their brains around the idea of letting a opposing team score a touchdown. But when the other team gets into a first and goal situation, first and goal, second and goal, whatever it is, if they get into an and goal situation at the end of the game where you have no timeouts to stop them, okay, that means that they can kneel and set up the game-winning field goal as time expires. Okay, so the only way you can potentially get the ball back and win the game is if you let them score a touchdown. The only other possible solution is that an NFL kicker somehow misses a college extra point, and maybe the holder drops the snap or something,
right,
which you never, ever, 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 ever see at the NFL level. So in that situation yesterday, and I tweeted it at the time, John Fox, the only correct coaching move there was to let the 49ers score and give his quarterback the ball, the number two overall draft pick, by the way, the ball with 90 seconds left to go down and score a touchdown.
It follows the narrative of John Fox, doesn't trust his rookie quarterback, doesn't trust his offense, would rather go for the idea of possibly a mistake by the other team to walk away with a victory.
Well, and that is just a damning statement.
Yeah.
If he is trusting them to screw Robbie Gould to screw up at a college extra point instead of giving Mitch Trubisky the ball with 90 seconds, that is really, really bad.
Now, Ron says, I know John Fox is taking criticism. This is Ron 312 for not allowing him to score. But Fox might be right in this situation. He said in his 28 years of coaching, he's never seen that strategy work. Is it possible that you rely on a coach's experience who's coached for years in the NFL and that has been tried at different times and it never works? I mean, is there a possibility that John Fox went with his gut and his instinct to say, I've tried this, I've been on teams that's tried this, it never works?
Well, the one thing Fox said that is accurate is that neither option is great. But one option guarantees you losing the game, and the other gives you a slight chance, even if it's only 1 or 2%. Okay,
right.
So
right.
You have to go with the one that gives you a chance, even if it's bleak. And I disagree. I mean, I can't off the top of my head think of a situation where a team has let the other team score and then goes down and successfully scores again to retake the lead. But I know it's happened at both the college and NFL level. I know I've seen it happen before.
In any case, it's about character, and it's about the idea that you want to win the game, and you'll do at anything possible to win the game, not hope that the other team loses it.
Right, and I just think, though, that some of these old-school football guys just can't get it through their head of letting the other team score a touchdown. I get it. That's hard. That's a hard thing to think about. But really, if you think about it, Kyle Shanahan screwed up on second down.
Yeah, he should have run it.
He should have knelt on second and third down. They actually ran a running play. That was a gift to the Bears.
Yeah, there's that first-year coaching, right?
Yeah, and instead of letting him score, they tackled Carlos Hyde in the backfield, and they let the clock run out.
Yeah. Adam Hoge, WGN Radio Bears Insider, WGNRadio.com/Bears. Let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll get the update on Rob's news tonight. We'll come back. We've got a lot of great texts and calls coming in. We're talking about the Bears' loss to the Niners, and we'll look forward to whether or not the Bears will actually be better than they were last year, 3-13. Right now, 3-9. Not so sure. Stay with us.
Trubisky looking that way. Fires end zone. Caught! Touchdown, Dontrell Inman, working on Maven, who just came in for the injured Dante Johnson, and the Bears take the lead.
That was a lone bright spot. The Monday evening quarterback here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Adam Hoge is here as well. WGNRadio.com/Bears. Find out all his information there, WGN Radio Bears Insider. All right, as we continue to talk, a lot of texts coming in, more than usual, Adam, just about people fed up with John Fox and fed up with this regime that some saying the worst coach in Bears history. We mentioned a couple weeks, last time we were on, I think we kind of sussed out the stat that this is only match, I think it matches the longest run in modern Bears history of playoff-less teams. From the 1996 to 2000, maybe, with Wanstead and Giron and that time that every Bears fan just wants to forget?
Yeah, I think that's the this is comparable for sure. The kind of the late 90s to right now, the last 7 years, it's been a pretty tough run of Bears football, and I've said this before, but there's one player on the Bears right now who has been on a winning Bears team, and that's Sherrick McManus, going back to 2012 when the Bears were 10-6 and still fired Lovie Smith. No one else on this roster has been on a winning Bears team.
That's hard to believe that they fired Lovie Smith at 10-6. We love to pull that. I love to suss that. I'm a huge Lovie fan. I love that that team had notoriety and that the national networks of sports wanted to talk about us because of guys like Brian Urlacher and Lance Briggs and Julius Peppers. But there were a lot of years in between there of 7-9.
Yeah. Oh, there were, and we forget that he stopped beating the Packers as soon as Aaron Rodgers took over, and. Yeah. And they never were able to maximize Jay Cutler. Now, at the time, you understand why Phil Emery was like, all right, we got to get a new head coach and maximize Jay Cutler's talents so that everyone could see. And if you go back to that time, nobody was really criticizing that line of thinking. The problem is he just made a terrible head coaching hire, and the whole thing fell apart, and the Bears are still trying to dig out of that.
All right,
right now.
So here we go again. I mean, it's a foregone conclusion at this point that John Fox and probably much of his staff, maybe even Vic Fangio, we'll get to that, but are not going to be with us next season. What do the Bears have to look for? You know, we've seen these wonder coaches in L.A., as in Philadelphia, and other places, these offensive minds, they call their own plays. Yeah. These young former coordinators that have found themselves at the top of the heap. Is that the kind of coach we're looking for, or are we going to go back for the coach with NFL experience, head coach experience?
Well, I would be, you know what, I'd be surprised if they hire somebody with head coaching experience. And that was a big deal when the Bears hired John Fox, because they had never done that since rehiring George Halas, right?
Right.
It went back a long, really long time. So, I would think that they most likely, if I had to put my money on it right now, they'll hire some up-and-coming offensive coordinator type guy. But I think you have to learn you have to be careful with that, because we saw with Mark Trestman that you still have to be able to command a locker room. You still have to be able to be a head coach, not just an offensive coordinator. That's why you're being hired as a head coach. And I think Ryan Pace knows that. So they're gonna go out and try to find not just somebody that can call plays for Mitch Trubisky and improve this offense that's been a disaster this year, but it also has to be somebody that can command the locker room, get their respect, and also put a decent defense out there, which the Bears failed to do with Mark Trestman.
Yeah. I'm interested because I think it was the game against the Eagles. We didn't get to talk after that because of the holidays and everything, but you know, there was one of the announcers was talking about how Carson Wentz played at Dakota, which South Dakota or whatever he played, and he played in a system that was very similar to what Peterson ran in Philadelphia. So he was hired by the general manager or the coach there with the knowledge that he played the same system, so they had a leg up. They talked about how Mitchell Trubisky was not. They didn't necessarily point that out to be a negative, but they said he came from a different system at Carolina. And he did not it was different than what the Bears are running here in Chicago. Is that something that, you know, I don't know. I wonder if that's part of the idea of trying to fix this Bears franchise, to make smart decisions like that, to get the right people in the right place to play the system we play, as opposed to hiring talent that doesn't fit.
Yeah, and look, it's a great point, and it was a big reason why I love Carson Wentz coming out of college. He played at North Dakota State. It was a pro-style offense, and you could just tell when he showed up at the Senior Bowl that year in Mobile, Alabama, that he was poised and comfortable running an NFL style. First day, it did not look like he was coming from an FCS school. He fit in with the top players that were running around that field from Alabama and Auburn and all these SEC schools. So he got that right away. He did not really have to be taught that when he got to the NFL. Now, he still went through some struggles last year, like any rookie quarterback does. But Mitch Trubisky absolutely is I don't want to say struggling, but going through, taking his lumps, going through an NFL style where it's not just half field reads, full field reads. And I think that there have been times where we've seen him go 1, 2, 3 and hit that third read. There's been many other times where he doesn't get to that third read. He panics, tucks the ball. You know, we saw a play there at the end of the game on the Bears' last drive where he probably should have tried to throw the ball downfield, and instead he tucked it and ran out of bounds, yeah. And that didn't really accomplish anything. It gave the 49ers the ball back for their what turned out to be their game-winning drive. So it's stuff like that that he is struggling with, and it doesn't help when this offense that he's learning isn't working. It doesn't have any kind of identity whatsoever. So the Bears have to find somebody that can teach Mitch what he needs to learn, but also come up with an offense with some kind of identity that he can lean on as a quarterback.
Yeah, and I think of quarterbacks and systems. I think of winning teams right now, the New Orleans Saints or the Atlanta Falcons, and the Falcons lost yesterday. But even to an extent, the Minnesota Vikings play this way, and the New England Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs and Philadelphia as well. This idea that there is a, I don't know if it's a hike and throw kind of concept where they're throwing the ball around, a lot of backs on routes that are coming out of the backfield that aren't check downs on third and eight to throw three. You know, it just feels to me you're seeing Russell Wilson plays it as well. This idea that there is so much more emphasis on hitting that, you know, the open receiver at the right time, regardless of down and distance, if that makes sense. Jimmy Garoppolo did it yesterday, where it was just like, here he is throwing third and eight, and he's finding a guy in a 12-yard route. And I don't know, there was just something about, I'm like, yeah, I know that's how the NFL is played these days, and the Bears aren't playing that way.
Well, look, good offenses have three things, okay? First one is reliable weapons. I don't even want to go as far as to say, like, Antonio Brown, because that's such a rare player to have that not all the offenses have that, but they have guys like a Jordy Nelson who's not on that athletic capability, but Aaron Rodgers can rely on him and knows where he's going to be. So reliable weapons first and foremost. Second thing, quarterbacks that have the experience to read what they're seeing at the line of scrimmage, check out of what's not going to work and check to something that is going to work. And then that's the third thing, an identity. A handful of plays that experienced quarterback knows he can go to and hit those reliable receivers when he needs to make a check at the line of scrimmage. Right now, the Bears don't have any of that.
Yeah.
They don't have the reliable weapons. They don't have the experienced quarterback. He'll get that as he goes through time. But that third thing falls on the offensive coordinator and the head coach for not coming up with any kind of identity, not establishing any kind of offensive identity. What do you think Mitch Trubisky's thinking when he's at the line of scrimmage and he goes, this is not going to work? Okay, well, what's plan B? I don't think they know what plan B is. And that's the problem right now.
And it's obvious when you look at players like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady who've made their career on being able to make adjustments at the line. I mean, that's the NFL now. I mean, this isn't college where they all stop and look at the coach at the 15-second mark. That's my favorite thing in college football, where they all look to the right and they look.
And by the way, Justin, that's the offense that Mitch, when we talk about this, that's what Trubisky came from. He was in the more of a spread out type thing. Now, he did have full field reads and some pro concepts, but it was, okay, what am I looking at? Let's check to the sideline. And the sideline, the coaches on the sideline, you know, checked into whatever they were doing, and Mitch Trubisky did not have that responsibility. So that's part of him learning here at the NFL level because they don't do that here.
Let me ask you this, Adam, and Adam Hogue on the line, Monday Evening Quarterback. We're really thinking about the future of the Bears right here as opposed to what we saw yesterday. I wondered today, I was like, well, it's obvious to me that the Bears are going to be a top five pick again. Regardless how it shakes out, maybe they're a little higher, maybe they're a little lower. But the point being, they're pretty much where they were last year. And I go, well, obviously a wide receiver. But then I'm like, yeah, you got Kevin White and you don't really want to go down that area. There's not too many top 10 picks that are wide receivers that ever work out. And then I'm like, where do the Bears need the most help? I mean, obviously, we all know about weapons on the offensive side, but I would pass on a running back. I'd pass on a quarterback. I'd probably pass on a defensive front seven. Where do you think a top five pick fits in for the Chicago Bears?
Well, they have enough needs that they can still kind of go best player available eliminating some positions. Obviously, they're not going to take a quarterback again.
Right.
And I agree, they're not going
to. Right?
They're not going to take a running back. Saquon Barkley from Penn State's probably the only one you would even consider, but he'll probably be gone unless the Bears. Well, he might be in the mix for top three. We'll see how that all plays out. But you could make an argument for a wide receiver. Yeah, unfortunately, they need a do-over on the Kevin White pick, and that's just unfortunate, but it's true. Okay, and then outside linebacker, they clearly need help getting after the quarterback. Unfortunately, again, that's who you picked in the second year as your first-round pick. You drafted Leonard Floyd, but you still need more help there. Offensive line, they're just not getting consistent play from their offensive tackles. They could use depth on the interior. Part two, with the way that Kyle Long continues to be beat up and Josh Sitton is just getting older. Okay, so you can look up and down the offensive line and say that if there's a stud there, you take him. And then you look in the secondary. You know, all this praise about Kyle Fuller, I get it, but I think we're relying too much on the fact that he didn't even play a year ago and struggled the 2 years before that. He has been better. He has not been a Pro Bowl corner. Okay, so he got asked about the Pro Bowl today, and my jaw dropped. He's not close to being a Pro Bowl corner, and he's still not a great fit in this defense. And we'll see if they could be changing schemes for all we know this offseason. But you could make a strong argument for cornerback too. So there's a lot to pick from in the draft, and we'll obviously spend a long time this winter talking about all that.
Yeah, I guess. You know, at the end of the day, I mean, when I was thinking about it, I'm like, well, they really can't do this position, but I guess I have to think a little bit bigger in the way that some of the players that we have on paper thought to be satisfactory are not gamers. And that's the problem where you go, okay, this person on, I mean, Adam Shaheen's a good example. I wouldn't go as far yet in his young career to say he's a bust, but when the coaching staff only puts him out for 9 out of 37 plays and he was a second round pick, You kind of start the head scratch going, maybe we need a new tight end.
Yeah, this is a great point you're bringing up, and it's a bigger conversation. I was thinking about this actually driving home from Hallis Hall earlier today. You know, we kind of fall in this trap, and I think the Browns are probably stuck in this too in Cleveland, just the fan base, the media, probably the organization too. When you're so bad for so long, the only thing you have to compare to is bad. Right? And that starts to set the bar so low. So, and I'm admitting this right now, I've probably been guilty of it. I've been giving Ryan Pace a lot of credit for his drafting. And you step back and look at it, and he's drafted a lot of solid players. He hasn't drafted any all pros.
Yeah. No and ballers. And no guys that are going to, like, I give Kyle Fuller a little, I mean, he wasn't drafted by him, but I give Kyle Fuller some credit for breaking balls up. But
that was a Phil Emery pick.
I'd like to see, and if it's Eddie Jackson or if it's Adrian Amos or it's a linebacker, Christian Jones, get the ball. Like,
right.
Far too often are these guys just not aware, and maybe that's my bad because I'm a Bears fan who loves defense and I've been spoiled by guys like Mike Brown and Brian Urlacher. And the 85 Bears, and we just assume there should be greatness in that regard. But that's what's missing out of this team. There are no players that go out and out-hustle and out-muscle the opposition.
There's one player that he acquired that is playing at an all-pro level, in my opinion, and that's Akeem Hicks. And it was a great signing. But there's so many other bad free agency signings that I don't know, outweigh it, but are, you know, you put them out there on the board and you compare what worked and what didn't. And with these draft picks, we compare it to so many bad years of drafting under Phil Emery and Jerry Angelo that it Ryan Pace deserves credit for drafting guys like Eddie Jackson and drafting the Tariq Cohen and finding Jordan Howard in the fifth round. There's a lot of good, really good, actually, middle round draft picks for what you typically get in those areas. But you go back to the first round. This is still a league where you have to draft all pros when you're drafting in the top 10. He has had three picks in the top 9. And
right.
One's not playing. The other's on IR, Leonard Floyd. I thought he showed some promise this year, but still, I mean, top 9, I don't know if he's showing that. And then Mitch Trubisky's obviously got a long way to go. And here he is. He's going to be drafting probably, like you said, in the top 5 again this year.
Lots to unpack, and we'll continue to do it here on the Download. Monday evening quarterback, where we get together with Adam Hoge, WGN Radio's Bears Insider, to talk about what we saw the Sunday before. Not a lot, but Adam, we'll talk with you next week. Thanks, buddy.
All right.